and welcome to Volunteering Discovery. This is a podcast which takes you behind the scenes of volunteering in health and care in Norfolk and Waveney. Volunteers enhance the experience of people accessing health and care in a huge variety of ways, in our hospitals, our communities, and even from the comfort of their own homes. In each podcast, we'll be hearing from those who give their time supporting others and the people who work alongside them. I'm your host, Sarah, a volunteer coordinator working in the NHS. Why not subscribe to this podcast to make sure you hear all of the upcoming episodes in the series?
In our Get Involved Innovation Fund episode, we met Katta Parrish, who told us about this exciting part of the Volunteering for Health programme in Norfolk and Waveney. Katta explained that a key focus of the fund is to find new ways to approach volunteering, making it easier for people with learning disabilities to get involved. In the next two episodes, we'll be meeting some of the team and volunteers at the James Paget University Hospital, where they have successfully supported people with learning disabilities to volunteer for many years. We'll discover the kind of roles that volunteers do, the support they need to get started, and we'll hear firsthand from volunteers within the team. The James Paget also hosts Project Search, a work-based study programme for young people aged 16 to 24 with special educational needs, who want to move into employment. We'll hear more about Project Search next time. Let's get started with producer Jules chatting to members of the volunteering team.
My name is John Gilligan and I am the volunteer coordinator at the James Paget Hospital. I look after all of the volunteers at the Paget, which include our general volunteers and our butterfly volunteers who look after patients at end of life. Right from interviewing, induction, DBS checks, right through to sort of get them placed in a department that they might feel happy and bring something to and get something out of. We have quite a few volunteers that volunteer at the front desk who meet and greet our visitors, patients, relatives, direct them to the correct department. We have three new departments now that sit alongside the hospital, which will be forming part of the new hospital, the orthopaedic theatre section, the CDC, and the Alton Suite. A lot of patients and relatives find those quite difficult to get to because they are actually outside the building, so they need a lot of direction. And we've also got a new car parking system, which is causing quite a few concerns with our visitors, etc., because sometimes it's new and the blue card system. So volunteers are very good at the moment of remembering the process of what instructions and clear instructions to give to our people that have car parking issues when they arrive at the front desk. Obviously, there's boundaries, so we have to set those clear boundaries at the beginning. So volunteers can do several tasks, which might be going to one department to get patients' medical notes, to bring them to the eye clinic, which obviously are paid member staff, but if you've got lots of those to do in a day, can be quite time-consuming. So they can do those very important tasks that will save a nurse doing it, which can get on with something, I won't say more important, but might be patient-faced or et cetera, that might be more urgent to do at that time. So they're a real tremendous benefit in all sorts of departments. Once again, we have patients or relatives that arrive that might need escorting to a department, where if you take a HCA from a very busy department, they're not doing that role, but they are doing quite a few tasks where it might take a trained nurse away from a patient or checking a TTO that might go out or might have to go to a meeting. But they are all very, very important tasks, which are done by volunteers here at the Paget.
For people who might not be familiar with the acronym, what is a TTO?
Tablets to take out. When I started 19 years ago and I was working as a HCA, I usually said I'd go home every evening. What were they saying, TTOs? So I finally plucked up the courage that one of the days say, what do you mean? And it is tablets to take out. And we still use that term today. So a lot of volunteers do say, excuse me, what does that? That's tablets to take out. And it's probably one of the main delays of delayed discharges because sometimes medication's not ready on time. Hence, we have a great team of volunteers in the pharmacy helping to try and move the flow of TTOs to the right areas or the right time to get our patients out, to free up a bed and that ever-changing circle on ward areas.
They used another acronym there, which is an HCA.
Healthcare assistant, whose duty is to work under the supervision of the trained nurse on the ward, which will perform duties, all the holistic care of a patient, which might mean someone that might need assisted wash, a full wash, a washing of bed, they might need some help actually having their meal or just undoing the sandwiches. Whatever that patient needs, that HA will be able to assist and perform those duties. And also with that goes a lot of documentation. So if someone's on a red tray, which is someone that needs some input with their hydration, nutrition, there may well be a fluid chart to document, food chart, fluid chart, just to, so the ward staff know that that patient's been fed well, eating well, malnourished, hydrated and things like that. So that's another part of the HCA role.
Can somebody expect, if they do have a learning disability, for example, about the process when they are interested in volunteering and they sign up, what can they expect?
I'll help them whatever way I can, because generally our training, because in all the trust there is training, and we do most of our training on online, e-learning for health, and obviously that isn't for everybody. And I think sometimes that's their biggest fear. How can I get trained? How can I get competent at what I'm going to do? It's that conversation, that meeting. Can you do online training? Or do you prefer face-to-face? Are you happier in a large group? Or is it more one-to-one? And if I find out what is their preference, that's what we'll do. So I do quite a bit of one-to-one sort of training. Some of those one-to-ones I have done online with them, gone through it with the e-learning fellow. But sometimes it's quite hard to relate that online. Actually, how does that really relate, actually, in the corridors or in the wards situation? So it's easier to actually have a tour around the hospital or do it that way, face-to-face, and sort of have more like life sort of training rather than lots of modules and you're reading and reading and reading. I think they get a better understanding if they're here and see what it is and the building and the sort of people that they will be meeting. So that's what we're trying to get the training that suits. Obviously, there is a lot that can do the e-learning for the health training. But once again, once they've done it, sometimes, well, they all get a tour around the hospital, onto the wards. I do a lot of come and see, come and try, come and I'll show you around the hospital, show the wards. Because there's a bit of fear. They want to do something, but not quite sure what they want to do. But we're keen at that now. And like, come, that's something, you know, you're not signing up for anything. Just because you come doesn't mean you're going to be a volunteer. You come and have a look around and see how you feel. Some of the volunteers quite like a little bit of the sort of chaos sometimes that they're in some bit, but a lot of the volunteers do like quite a clear plan of action, support. That's what they need to do. If they don't do that, they don't do it. And they're great. They will stick to it rigidly, what they've been asked to do, and they won't veer off that track. So, you know, if you're asking them to do something, that's what they're going to do.
And if somebody gets started and then feels a bit worried about something or thinks perhaps the role that they've started with isn't right for them, then what would happen?
I usually see them every week or every, you know, the corridors, and I always ask them how they're getting on. If anyone's not happy, whenever they do start, if you're not happy with this, just come back and tell me and we'll restart. We'll see where you're going to be better. If that area, that department isn't right for you, we'll see. We'll try somewhere else. That's what they need to do. Don't panic. Don't think, oh, I've got to come in and go somewhere where I don't think I'm right. I don't like it. I'm not happy. Too busy, too noisy. I don't think the people are quite nice. Just come and see me. We can cross the next step. That's what we do.
So for some organisations who aren't as proactive at involving volunteers, who might have kind of extra support needs to get started, would you have any advice or anything that you'd like to share that you've learned through doing so here at the Paget?
Don't be too quick to say, no, you can't volunteer. Just listen, get them in, show them around and have the time to find out what bit of what you're asking to do they can do. They might do all of it. They might only be doing that. But just doing that little bit will be great for the department and great for you and great for that person. And that's what they need to do. Because we do have a learning, I don't think so. You might have to make some adjustments, but make those adjustments. Listen to the person, get them in. Don't write them off before you've given them a chance. That's what I would do. If I feel or I hear anything or someone reports something, because wherever they do go, I do say to the ward manager, anything, any issues, just let me know straight away. So if we do think there's something not quite right or someone's a bit down or needs a bit of support, we are on it straight away. And I always, wherever anyone starts, I always say to the nurse in charge or the ward sister, if you have any issues, come straight back to me. And I always say to the volunteer, if something isn't quite right, don't sort of bottle it up, just come and see me. You know, if I'm not in the office, they know where I am, just track me down. And they'd be sort of, but they have to go through all the processes. They sign a volunteer confidentiality agreement. So everything is above board. And also they get told to be very careful or mindful about Facebook and things like that, what they should and shouldn't be doing. And the best thing is not to put anything on there at all. But we do live in a world where there's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram and all the rest of it. But be very mindful where you are and what you're going to put out there, because there is people at the Trust that do keep an eye on that and on a daily basis in what's going on in the media. And sometimes it is a privileged position to be in at the Paget. You're doing a great thing, serving patients, relatives, families. That's what we like here at the Paget.
Now that John has shared the approach the volunteering team at the James Paget take to involve people with learning disabilities, it's time to hear from some of the volunteers themselves.
My name is Casey Shepherd. As a volunteering, I've been here for 7 years as a volunteering. I help people with pushing chairs to clinics. We help people with learning difficulties, with all sorts of things like that kind of thing. It's my part of the job. It's just to help people around different places, around the hospital, keep everyone safe, make sure everyone's really well. We help people with mental health a little bit for the main desk. And main desk is actually really, really brilliant. We have no complaints about the main desk. It's just support the part of family as a hospital trust. That's it. We ask people for directions for like whereabouts appointments or what clinics are going to. It's a big hospital. It can't get lost in hospital because it's a square building. Lots of signs around the hospitals, and it tells you which ways, left or right, what clinics you're going to and stuff like that. So it's really good to support the people, the patients and stuff like that.
So you said that you've been volunteering for 7 years. Can you remember why you chose this volunteer?
Because as the St John's Ambulance, I'm just a caring person, and that's why if I put my name down for a volunteering at the James Paget Hospital, and it was quite really good service. That's it. Really, we can't complain or nothing. Just really good service to the trust.
Can you remember how you found out about this volunteering?
Since my friends passed on, and it's really difficult times. I look on the website and online and what volunteering at the James Paget. I was about 16 years old, and I want to be a porter at the James Paget Hospital. That's going to be a really difficult job to do. It's fun. It's really hard to push beds around, and I used to be volunteering as a porter for a while, and I come back to main desk to help people on the main desk with pushing wheelchairs around the departments. It's really brilliant. It just helped people around the different clinics and just help make sure everyone's safe and keep them well. If I need a break, if they want to be like, it would be able to turn around, just give her 5 minutes and try it again. Just talk to people, how they feel, that they feel better and stuff like that. That's my, like, just for families. It's quite fun, actually, to be honest. It's quite have a bit of laugh and giggles now and again with the patients. We just treat like people the same as different people in a day. We are different, but in a day, we treat like as the same people.
And you remember, before you started volunteering, if you were worried about anything when you got started?
I did get lost in the hospital. I did get lost upstairs in the main corridors. I can't find downstairs. And I went to the lift. I went back up again. I actually got a whole circles again, whole squares again.
How did you feel better about finding your way around?
We have one-to-one. We have colleagues support each other just because we are part of family, part of friends together to support each other and then make sure things make you safe, make sure you're okay and stuff like that. If there's any questions, come to main desk or to my colleagues. Just helping each other around.
Do you have anything as a good, happy memory that stands out to you?
I think it was about a long time ago, years and years ago back, we had a volunteering at the charity, little charity stuff. That's where we got all the little prizes for the kids. But now it's all changed. But then that's a good memory of all the prizes, the charity stuff. It's actually amazing. The cafe, the hospital is actually amazing. There's actually brilliant staff around the hospital. They're actually really brilliant. The hard workers, I can't complain about the workers or nothing like that. It's a really good service.
Thank you to Casey for sharing such valuable insights. Next, we'll hear from Adam, another dedicated volunteer whose experience adds even more depth to our understanding of inclusive volunteering.
My name's Adam Thurston, and I've been volunteering here for 3.5 years. I volunteer at the desk and the bed density. Well, in Monday to Wednesday, I take people to a place called bed density, where they help the bones, and on do the rest of the day, so I normally volunteer the front desk. I normally help people where to go, or where, if the car park is free or something, with the new parking machinery, it's just been added, and some people just find it a bit confusing how it works.
I could see some people looking a bit...
Yeah, how it works. It's a camera registration number. Like, where can I see the license plate?
So what kind of help do you give them? They're confused.
Just tell them that... Remember your registration number, if you can, obviously. And tell them that it's contactless card. Or there's a cash... If you pay by cash, you could go to the cashier's office.
You said that you've been volunteering here for 3 years. Can you remember why you chose this role?
Well, because I want to do some work experience. Obviously, instead of just staying at home and get off my PlayStation, I want to do some work experience.
And how did you find the volunteering here?
Well, Kathy, from Project Search, told me about doing some volunteering because, as of right now, it's difficult to get jobs now, all because of job cuts and budget cuts, all those things that can cause some bit of nightmare for a lot of people. Because I want to do some experience and also just want to do something.
Is it that you like about the volunteering?
It's like meeting new people and being positive being here.
Do you think the volunteering makes a difference to the people in the hospital?
Yes, it does, because it shows that you are friendly to people and also that you're very helpful.
Do you have any memories or moments that stand out to you?
I think it's when meeting new people first time, show how friendly they are, you know, and help you make comfortable doing that job.
Because you've been volunteering for quite a long time, you've gained quite a lot of experience doing different things. What would you say to somebody thinking about volunteering that would help them get started?
It just gives you a positive move. It's good for your mental health. Well, then also, it makes you want to stay away from all the negative stuff, like on the news, all the negative stuff. Just do volunteering, help you clear your head. It's good for your experience, really, and also, so if there's a chance like a job, for example, you can do that.
Thank you to our guests, John, Casey and Adam, for joining us. Hearing their stories really highlights the heart and impact of volunteering at James Paget Hospital. They remind us how inclusion and support can create meaningful opportunities for everyone. To find out more about volunteering at the James Paget University Hospital, please see the episode notes. Next time we'll be meeting more of the team, each with their own unique perspective and contribution. So stay tuned, and if you've been inspired by what you've heard, why not share this episode or reach out to learn more about volunteering in your local community. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. It all helps people find us and spread the word about volunteering. This podcast was produced for the Norfolk and Waveney Integrated Care System by Hospital Radio Norwich. Hosted by Sarah Briggs. Producer was Jules Alderson. Original music composed and performed by Philip Aldred. Interviews by Sarah Briggs and Jules Alderson.